Ladies and gentlemen, the editor of the Elyria Weekly Gazette, Mr. Will Rogers, Jr.
Thank you. Sometimes I wonder if we wouldn't all have a better chance of keeping the season happy and merry if we'd bear in mind that there's a distinct difference between Christmas spirit and Christmas spirits.
Rogers of the Gazette, offering you again transcribed another heartwarming story of a country newspaper and its friendly editor, and starring Will Rogers, Jr. I'm Doc Clements, a friend of Will's. Well, the suspense is over. We're going to have a white Christmas in Elyria. It'd take a spring thaw to melt the snow we've got right now, and we're a cinch to have more. I haven't checked with the weatherman, but Hazel Burrow's trick knee predicts snow with unfailing accuracy, and she just flashed me the bulletin. I guess there's nothing much prettier than a small town like Elyria, drifted white with snow, with smoke from warm fires curling out of chimneys, and bright Christmas lights shining at the windows. That's if you belong to those warm fires and Christmas lights. But if you're a stranger and you're cold and hungry and frightened, well, sometimes that's quite another story.
You sure it's all right for me to go, Will?
Sure, Maggie. You run along.
I don't want to leave if you're going to stay late and work.
I'm not going to stay any later than it takes to finish this story.
I'll wait for you if you'll go shopping with me. Most of the stores are open tonight, you know.
Yeah, but I'm going home as soon as I finish this. And I'm going to eat me a big dinner. And after that, I'm going to put my foot up in front of the fire and maybe read or maybe just watch the fire a while. Then I'm going to bed.
Spoken like a man who did his Christmas shopping early.
Nope, I haven't even started.
Will, that's terrible. When are you going to do it?
Oh, sometime between now and Christmas. I've been giving it a lot of thought. I just can't seem to come up with any bright ideas.
But it's getting so late. Why don't you quit waiting for bright ideas and just settle for ideas?
I may have to. The thing is, I don't like to give people things they need for Christmas.
You'd rather give them things they don't need?
No, I don't mean it that way. I mean, take Doc, for instance. He probably needs socks, but maybe he hankers for a pipe or something like that. I'd rather give him the pipe than the socks.
I'm glad you feel that way. Because I need stockings. But I hanker for a convertible. Good night, Will.
Good night, Maggie. Oh, well, let's see here. Forget something, Maggie?
We're not Maggie, mister.
Oh, excuse me. Maggie just left. Well, what can I do for you folks?
Could we just get warm here for a little while?
Well, sure you can. Here, let me pull up a couple of chairs for the heater.
Oh, thanks. Thanks so much.
I haven't been out since about noon. It's pretty cold, huh?
It is if you slept in a snowdrift last night and walked all day through it. That gets cold, mister.
Yeah, I'll bet it does.
He's still asleep, Mel. Look.
You had a baby inside your coat?
Just since we got into town. Mel's carried Johnny all day.
Does he seem warm, Francie?
He seems so to me, but...
Maybe he shouldn't be asleep. Maybe that's bad.
Oh, please, Mel, don't talk like that.
Oh, I think he's all right. But I've got a friend who'll know right off. Let me call him.
I wish you would. Oh, how I wish you would.
I think little Johnny's in good shape, considering all he's been through.
You're sure, Doctor? I mean, you wouldn't just say that.
No, I wouldn't just say that.
Oh, Mel. Oh, Mel.
Go ahead, honey. You've got a cry coming.
I...
If you don't mind some advice, I'd have a good cry if I were you, little lady. You too, son. You're both tight as a fiddle string. By that time, we'll ought to be back from the drugstore with the warm milk for the baby, and everybody will feel better.
Well, it's... It's just the relief. We've been afraid for the baby all day. Not so much for ourselves, but it isn't fair for Johnny. He's so little.
It's all right, Francie. Johnny's all right. The doc said so.
I know. I know.
Well, I got everything like you said, Doc. Everything's sterilized and something wrong?
Oh, she's all in, Will. The boy's fine, though. And he'll be even better when he has some supper, won't you, young man?
Now, the nipples on the bottles are backwards, Doc. You know, you got to take them off first, you see. And
no kidding.
Oh, I guess you know all about that, huh?
Well, I've run across it a few times before. Gracious. Now then, Johnny. We're in business.
Look, Francie. Look at your boy now.
Oh, bless him. Bless his heart. He's been such a good boy.
He's sure going after that milk.
Nothing wrong with this boy. But I'll tell you this. I'm a mite more concerned about you two youngsters than I am about Johnny here.
Yeah. How about you folks doing some eating? And some sleeping, too. We got a nice hotel here. I'll be glad to call and see about a room for you.
We don't have a dime, mister.
Oh, well, that doesn't change things much. You still have to eat and get some sleep.
Oh, we'll get along, won't we, Francie?
Oh, sure, honey. Sure we will.
Now, look, I got some extra room at my house, and there's dinner waiting for me. You'd be mighty welcome.
Oh, Mel?
But you don't know anything about us, mister.
I could find it out at dinner, couldn't I?
Well, I guess so, but...
Now, see here, young man, you just packed your pride over to Will's house. It isn't nearly as important as your wife and son here.
I wouldn't get him roused if I were you. Around here, we just do what the doctor says. Get along with him.
He's awful little, isn't he, Daddy?
He's about right. For 7 months old, Jill.
Was I ever that little?
Sure you were. First time when I saw you, you were about half his size.
Aw, Daddy, no one was ever that little.
You were.
Gee, doesn't he do anything but sleep?
You bet he does, Jill. Sometimes he cries all night.
Oh, hello there. We were just admiring your son. He's sure a fine-looking boy.
Still sleeping away, huh?
Like a log. Guess we better get out of here and let him do a real job of it. Come along, Jill.
Is he going to sleep in here in your room, Daddy?
That's right, honey. Come along now.
Can I sleep in there with you two when it's time to go to bed?
No, Jill. But it's your bedtime right now. So say goodnight to Mr. Simmons and hop off to your room, honey.
If he wakes up in the night, will you let me know?
If he wakes up, we'll all know, Jill.
I've never seen him awake.
Well, you will. Now run along to bed. You got to go to school tomorrow. And Mr. Simmons and I want to have a little talk.
Oh. Well, goodnight, Mr. Simmons.
Good night, Jill.
Good night, Daddy.
That's my big girl. Good night, honey. Sleep tight.
You be sure and call me if you need me, Daddy.
I will, honey. Come on over to the den, Simmons. Would you rather turn in yourself?
Well, I still need to unwind a little. And I'd like to talk to you if it's okay with you.
Well, sure. Fine. It's this way. There. Make yourself comfortable. I see my fire's down to embers. I can get it going, though, in no time.
Oh, not on my account. I'm warmer than I ever thought I'd be again.
Guess your wife didn't have any trouble getting to sleep.
No. She was all played out. She just held on account of the baby. When she found out Johnny was all right and she had dinner, she folded right up. I sure hope you won't mind having a baby in your room.
No, not at all. That spare room you're in wouldn't hold Jill's baby bed. Always sort of wanted to have a boy around anyway.
I guess every man wants a son. I sure wanted Johnny. Mr. Rogers, I gotta find some work tomorrow.
We ought to find something. Say, if the weather's right, we better get Charlie at the garage to try and get your car out of that snowdrift. You think you know where it is?
I think so. But, you see, I can't pay to get the car out. And it'll need some work done on it, and there's no money for that.
Now, just take things one at a time. A while ago, you needed to get warm and have some food and a place to sleep. Maybe tomorrow will take care of the rest of your needs.
I don't know. Francie and I have been living a day at a time for a long while. Sometimes you wish you could plan. You wish you knew about the day after tomorrow, too, and next week.
Sure, but nobody does, really. Even if you got a little money and your car isn't in a snowdrift, you can't tell about tomorrow, or the day after, or next week.
Yeah, only pretty soon it's going to be Christmas. I promised Francie we'd make it to Kansas City for Christmas. Her mother's there.
Oh, there's time. With a few breaks, you can still make it.
I guess I sound ungrateful, but I'm not. I don't know why we showed up at your office tonight, of all the places in town. But I'm glad we did. And I'll find some way of paying you back, Mr. Rogers.
You know, I'm not near as worried about that as you are. What are you doing shoveling snow, Mel? I thought I sent you up here to school for a carpentry job.
Oh, I don't start the schools out today for the Christmas vacation. I guess they figure we can get the job done better with the kids gone.
Well, you're working anyway.
Yeah. After the other day, I didn't think anything good could come from a big snowstorm. Now I'm making a few bucks because of it. Man, you never know, do you?
No, that's what I meant the other night. You know, about tomorrow and the day after, next week.
Yeah. Oh, if you came to pick up Jill, she's already gone home. Left about 10 minutes ago.
Say, did she seem all right? She wasn't sick or anything.
No, she seemed fine to me. She just stopped a minute. Said she wanted to hurry home and help Francie with Johnny.
I'll bet she's a great help. The reason I asked about her being sick, her teacher called. Said she had to talk to me about Jill, and I guess I better get in there and see Ms. Harvey. Well, see you at dinner, Mel.
Yeah, you bet.
Miss Harvey?
Oh, my. You gave me a start, Mr. Rogers.
Well, I didn't mean to do that. I'm sorry.
Well, it isn't as if I weren't expecting you. After all, I did ask you to come, didn't I? Oh, sit down. Do sit down.
Thanks.
My, I'm glad none of my little scholars heard what I just said.
Sit down?
Thank you. I see what you mean. No, I meant what I said just before I said sit down.
Afraid you're going back a little far for me, Miss Harvey.
I said, if you recall, that it isn't as if I weren't expecting you. Isn't and weren't. A double negative, Mr. Rogers. Lazy speech.
Oh, yeah. Well, it got by me.
Mm. And you, a newspaper man?
Well, now, Miss Harvey, when you called, you said you wanted to talk to me about Jill.
Indeed, I did. And I do. Yes, I do.
Miss Harvey, where are you going?
Just to close the door, Mr. Rogers. My, we are in a state, aren't we?
Well, we're going to be, Miss Harvey. If you don't sit down and talk to me straight about Jill. Now, is she sick? Is she in trouble? What did she do?
Now, one question at a time, if you please. Now, number one, I don't believe the child's ill. That is, not really ill. Number two, in trouble? It's not for me to say, Mr. Rogers. As for what did she do, I'm not at all sure. Not at all sure.
Well, it must be pretty terrible if you can't bring yourself to come right out and say it.
Mr. Rogers, believe me, I'm trying to say it. I'm trying to say it with all my might and main. It's rather delicate. I'll try to begin at the beginning.
Start anywhere, Miss Harvey.
Well, for some years now, it's been my custom to have my class write a little paragraph or so, either about the Christmas season itself or on what they'd like to have for Christmas. I do this for two reasons. One, it's good training to set young thoughts down on paper. And two, quite frankly, it's my little safety valve on pre-holiday mayhem.
Well, if it's what Jill wrote down that's bothering you, Miss Harvey, why don't you just pass it to me under the desk?
Oh, how I would love to do just that. Unfortunately, in a fit of sheer shock, I stuffed the whole lot of the papers into the incinerator.
Oh. Well, where do we go from there?
I memorized what Jill wrote. Believe me, I would like to strike it from my memory for all time. But I'm afraid it's etched there indelibly. Mr. Rogers, Jill's exact words were, I want a baby.
You are listening to Rogers of the Gazette, starring Mr. Will Rogers, Jr. We'll return to our story in just a moment, but first, two disillusioned people, Millie Bronson's boss and a little boy he befriends, find that sharing disillusions can make them disappear on tomorrow night's edition of CBS Radio's Thursday comedy show, Meet Millie. Also tomorrow night on most of these same stations, Meet Mr. McNutley, starring Ray Milland. Modest Yule plans grow and grow for the McNutleys until, well, you'll be surprised tomorrow night. And now we continue with the second act of Rogers of the Gazette.
Poor Miss Harvey. She was really upset, wasn't she?
She'll need her Christmas vacation, all right. Oh, you know, I felt kind of sorry for her, too. But she was so blamed and indignant. By golly, you'd have thought that... well, she was just too blamed outraged, that's all.
You told her about Mel and Francie and little Johnny?
Yeah, only I had half a mind just to let her stew a while. But she was resting comfortably with a water cooler when I left the school. She'll make out all right.
Well, at least your Christmas shopping simplified.
How's that?
You said yourself you don't like to give people things they need for Christmas. There's one thing Jill doesn't need, it's a baby.
Here, here. Besides, I've got a feeling she'll be all out of the notion of babies by the time Mel and Francie take little Johnny off to his grandmother's.
They're still planning to spend Christmas in Kansas City?
Yeah. Mel's job at the school will be over in time for them to drive there. He'll pay Charlie for the car repairs, and they'll have a little money ahead, I guess.
Well, that's wonderful. Maybe things will break better for them from now on. You know how I hate to compliment you, but you've been awfully good to them, Will.
They're nice kids. Glad I had that spare room. Francie's been a great help to Mrs. Weatherwax with the house and the cooking, and Mel's done all the odd jobs I've put off for the past year. Well, that little Johnny's a corker. Sure get a kick out of him. It's been a fair exchange, all right.
Well, ho, Maggie.
Hi, Doc.
Hello, Doc.
Glad I caught you here, Will, instead of at home.
Doc, before anything else happens, you've got to see Will's imitation of Miss Harvey at the grade school.
I do?
It isn't very good imitation, but it's awfully funny.
It isn't much, Doc.
Well, I might watch it, if it wasn't for the fact that I just recently watched Miss Harvey's imitation of Miss Harvey, and I've gotten an idea that was a better performance.
Miss Harvey called you?
Nope. Just came lurching into the office. Case of nerves. Last day of school before the Christmas vacation takes a lot out of them, I guess.
Is she really sick, Doc?
No, just nerves, like I said. Old Harvey will be there when the bricks fall down on her. Well, she's been teaching fourth grade here since the first Cleveland administration. Say, Jill's in her room, isn't she?
Yeah, she is. And believe it or not, I think Jill's responsible for Miss Harvey's bout with her nerves today.
Oh? What did Jill do?
Oh, all the kids are supposed to write down what they wanted for Christmas. Jill wrote that she wanted a baby. And Miss Harvey decided that that was very significant.
Well, it is.
Oh, now, Doc, not you too.
Now, I'm not nervous about it, if that's what you're raising your voice about. But the fact remains that Jill does want a baby for Christmas. She told me so.
Just recently, Doc?
About 10 minutes ago, I was going by and thought I'd look in on Francie and the baby, and there was Jill, tending to him like he was her own.
Doc, for heaven's sakes!
Say, I'm beginning to see the resemblance. You're acting more like Miss Harvey every minute.
Well, why wouldn't I? Tending to him like he was her own. Why did you have to say that?
Because it's true.
You're right, Doc. His nostrils are beginning to quiver like Miss Harvey.
Now, listen. This isn't so funny all of a sudden. When I hear you talk, you'd think I ought to get Jill a baby for Christmas.
Have I said that? I sure haven't. I've said it's significant that Jill says she wants a baby for Christmas, and heaven knows she's warmed up to that Johnny Simmons something fierce.
Well, what does that prove?
That maybe you ought to have a little talk with Jill, son.
A talk? What kind of a talk? Aw, now, Doc, you don't mean that I should...
Darn if I'm not going to slap a few of those sedatives down my own throat if you don't quit sputtering and exploding around here.
I'm feeling I'm in the way.
Here, now, you sit still, Maggie. Don't you start getting skitterish.
Yes.
Now, you stay right here, Maggie.
The way he's taken on, I may need you to make that little talk for him.
Oh, no, you don't.
All right, now, everybody, at ease. The talk I'm referring to with Jill is simply to explain to her that she doesn't really want a baby for Christmas at all. Now, this may not be easy because she's bound she wants one. She's good and bound she wants one.
Oh, well, that shouldn't be so tough then. I mean, well, sure, there'll be a little problem of tactics, but I couldn't get too involved in a talk like this. Could I? Jill, honey, I'd like to talk to you.
All right, Daddy, but try not to talk so loud. I just this minute got him to sleep.
But he's asleep now. Why don't you put him to bed?
He isn't asleep far enough yet.
Far enough?
If I put him down now, he'd probably wake up and I'd have to do it all over again.
Oh, I see. You know all about babies by now, I suppose.
Oh, sure. Of course, Francie still gives me a few tips now and then, but mostly I take full care of him.
Well, that's a pretty big job for a little girl, taking care of a baby.
Oh, I don't think so. Francie says I do very well.
You sure she didn't say you do very well for a little girl?
No. She just says I do very well.
Oh.
Francie says I'm a regular little mother.
No, she didn't mean that, Jill. She didn't mean that at all. That's just a...
Shh, Daddy, you'll wake Johnny.
Oh, well, honey, that's just a sort of a figure of speech. Francie didn't mean it the way it sounds.
Daddy, why is your nose doing that?
Doing what?
The end of it. It moves around. Shakes, sort of.
I don't know why it does that. Now, I've had trouble with it earlier today, but now look, Jill.
Miss Harvey's nose does that. When she gets nervous or mad or something, her nose does that.
Miss Harvey and I seem to have a lot more in common than I thought.
Are you nervous or mad or something, Daddy?
No, honey. Not really. Now, Jill, about little Johnny...
You like him, don't you?
Yes, yes, I like him. Only I...
I'm glad you do, Daddy. Because I'm going to have one just like him.
No, you're not, Jill. But you see... Jill, that's what I came to talk to you about. You and I.
Excuse me, Daddy. But your nose is doing that again.
Honey, forget about my nose, will you? Now, you've got to understand about babies, Jill. And, well, what I want to say is you just don't pick babies off trees. I mean...
Well, I know how you get babies.
No, you don't, Jill. And anyway...
But I do know, Daddy. Francie told me.
Francie told you?
Mm-hmm. You wish for them.
Yeah.
That's what Francie did. She wished and wished for little Johnny. And she prayed, too. I guess even Mel wished and prayed.
I guess he did.
And that's what I'm going to do. Wish and pray for a little boy, just like Johnny. Oh, Daddy, won't that be nice?
Well, I really think you ought to sit down and drink this hot tea.
Francie, I don't think I could swallow anything more, hot or cold. I don't know what a fella does at a time like this.
Well, if a fella would sit down and quit pacing like a caged thing, maybe a girl could help him.
Well, all right. This thing's really got me licked.
Oh, that's silly. You know, I don't understand what you're so worked up about.
Well, I can clear that up for you real quick. I'm worked up because Jill wants a baby for Christmas.
Oh, Will.
Go ahead and laugh. Nobody got a bigger laugh than I did out of it at first.
But it's so silly to let that upset you.
Francie, she's 10 years old.
Yes, I know, and she's a very nice 10 years old. Jill's a wonderful little girl. I'm delighted with her.
Oh, thanks. So am I, most of the time. I don't know what I did wrong. I swear I don't.
Oh, now you're really being silly. You haven't done anything wrong. Well, you've done a wonderful job of raising a daughter.
Oh, I didn't mean that. I mean, Doc said it would be real simple to explain to her that she didn't want a baby for Christmas at all. And I tried. I never even got warmed up to the subject.
Poor Will. Doc shouldn't have told you it'd be simple.
Yeah. And you shouldn't have told Jill she could get a baby by wishing for one.
Well, I don't think that was wrong, really. But, Will, you know, sometimes just talking to a child, or in your case, just trying to talk to a child isn't enough.
It wasn't enough tonight.
Sometimes you have to show them that when they're wrong about something.
You mean a picture's worth 1,000 words, huh?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. All you need is the picture.
Well, that makes sense.
I'll tell you something else that makes sense, only you probably won't believe it.
You caught me out on a good night. I'll believe anything.
Will you believe that Jill doesn't want a baby? Because it's true, you know. She doesn't want one. But she wouldn't have a baby in this house for anything in the world.
But, well, then what's all the fuss about? Why does she tell Doc she wants one? Why does she write it down at school and make Miss Harvey's nose quiver? Nah, I think you're wrong, Francie.
Well, I'm pretty sure I'm right, Will. I think I can prove it to you.
Never mind about me. Just prove it to Jill.
All right. But you'll have to do just exactly what I tell you.
Morning, Daddy.
Oh, morning, honey. Sleep well?
Mm-hmm. I'll say. How come you're cooking bacon? Where's Mrs. Weatherwax?
Oh, she's out. Sit down, Jill. Drink your juice while it's nice and cold.
I didn't know you could cook, Daddy.
Oh, you're apt to find out I can do a lot of things.
Francie and Mel still asleep?
No, honey. They waited for you a while this morning, but when you didn't get up, they had to go on.
You mean they left for Kansas City this morning?
That's what they said. Said to tell you goodbye and wish you a Merry Christmas.
Gee, they could have waited. Waking me up or something.
Well, they wanted to wake you up, honey, only I guess they figured you'd need to sleep, especially this morning. And here's the rest of your breakfast, honey.
Thank you. You mean everybody's gone, Daddy?
Well, not quite everybody.
I mean, besides you and me. You said Mrs. Weatherwax was out.
Mm-hmm.
Francis and Mel are gone.
That's right.
Well, who else could there be then?
Oh, something you said you were going to wish for and pray for.
A baby?
Mm-hmm. And not just an ordinary baby either. Little Johnny's still here, up in my room.
He is?
Well, isn't that fine, honey? Isn't that just what you wanted?
Golly.
I know it's a little early for Christmas, but you just got to take babies where you find them these days, Jill.
I guess so.
Why, you don't seem very happy. Is it because we didn't wait till Christmas?
Oh, no, it isn't that. Are you happy, Daddy?
I am if you are, Jill.
I am if you are.
Honey, I don't understand. You said you wanted a baby, and now you've got a baby. What's wrong?
Well, I didn't wish or pray, except for you. Daddy, I only wanted a baby for you.
For me?
You told Mel you always wanted to have a boy around the house. I heard you tell him the first night they came here.
What? Oh, honey, well, that didn't mean anything. I don't need a boy around the house. I've got a girl here I'm sort of partial to. Besides, what have I told you about eavesdropping?
Wrong. It's very wrong.
You bet it is.
I didn't know it was this wrong, though. Gee, Daddy, do you think they'll take him back?
You have just heard Rogers of the Gazette, starring Mr. Will Rogers, Jr., with Parley Bear as Doc Clemens and Georgia Ellis as Maggie Button. Our story was written by Kathleen Height and produced and transcribed by Norman MacDonald. Featured in the cast were Mary McGovern, Sam Edwards, Helen Klebe, and Sammy Hill. The special music for Rogers of the Gazette was composed by Renee Garagank and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. Now, here is one of our CBS radio stars.
Hi there, this is Eve Arden, and Christmas is coming. So a happy holiday, everyone, from Mr. Boynton, Mr. Conklin, Walter, Harriet, the whole crew, and Eve Arden, your Miss Brooks.
And Christmas greetings from all our Stars Address stars. And sincere wishes for a very happy new year as well. Keep listening, and all our stars will do their best to keep you entertained. Roy Rowan speaking. The Corallaires sing Tuesdays and Thursdays on the CBS Radio Network.